Thank you for joining me again today. This week is flying by, and we come again to the God who is self-existent, and we live by His grace and mercy. We're here because God wants us to be here, and so we give thanks today to our Creator and Master. Please join me in giving thanks to God for the gift, the pure gift of life. And if you are just joining us today, then you will benefit greatly by downloading and listening to the previous 3 podcasts from the WEZE website. That will help you get caught up on what I've said so far about the self-existence of God. To do that, just go to 590amtheword.com and click More at the top of the homepage, then Podcast. God Is will be there. That's 590amtheword.com, click More, and then Podcast. 590amtheword.com. Now, yesterday I directed you to one of Jesus' lesser-known parables. It's tucked into the biblical text in Luke chapter 17. If you've not read through that and thought about this before, then you do not know what you are missing. This short parable teaches us a great deal about the nature of the relationship between God and women and men. And last time I told you what the parable means, and then I highlighted 2 logical questions we ask of the text. What I want to do now is reread Luke 17, verses 7 through 10, and then remind you of the questions before I give you answers. I hope this sounds good to you. All right, turn with me if you can to Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come immediately and sit down to eat"? But will he not say to him, "Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink"? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded, you say, "We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done." That is Luke chapter 17 and verses 7 through 10. And Jesus is to the point. And he talks about a slave. The slave goes out and plows the field and tends the sheep, then comes inside. Inside is the slave's master. Would the master really say, "Come on in. Immediately sit down. You've been working too hard. I've prepared you a meal. Sit down. Relax. Eat"? No, of course not. The master says, "You prepare me dinner. Then go, wash up, get on your shirt and tie, and come serve me my dinner." And then only after the master is finished eating and the dishes are washed and put away by the slave, only then can the slave eat his own meal. The master doesn't thank the slave because the slave is only doing what is expected of him. The slave is only doing the minimum. The slave is doing his job. The master doesn't fall all over himself thanking the slave. Now that, in my words, is what Jesus is saying. And the key line is this: we have done only that which we ought to have done. We are slaves, and God is the slave owner. God is our master, and when you and I serve God, and when we worship God, and pay attention to Him, and when we obey God as His slaves, we have only done that which we ought to have done. This is the minimum. This is what is expected of us. And God is not in heaven looking down at us, applauding in some sort of standing ovation, marveling at all we've done for Him. Absolutely not. God is seated on His throne, full in Himself. He is satisfied with Himself. He knows how awesome and wonderful and brilliant He is. God is self-existent. He exists perfectly forever within His own being. He does not need us. And when we serve Him, we do only that which we ought to have done. God is God, and God acts as God. We are slaves to God, and we must act as slaves act. But this raises 2 logical and fair questions. We asked and answered the first last time. If God doesn't need anything, then why did God create? Why did God create anyone or anything? Why did God make the heavens and the earth and angels and us? If God didn't need us, then why are we here? And today we come to the second question. If God doesn't need us, then are we of any value to God? I'll repeat that so you can get it back on your mind. If God doesn't need us, then are we of any value to God? When I say God doesn't need us, or that we do not meet some deep need within God, since God has no needs, it is possible that at least some of you will think, well, then I guess my life has no value in the eyes of God. And that echoes the sentiment that perhaps you've heard most of your life: you're a nothing, a no one, that you are somebody nobody cares about, and you feel worthless. You live with a deep sense, down there at the core of your being, that God doesn't even care about you. But this is obviously not true, as you will learn if you read the Bible. The truth is, you are valuable to the Lord. But do not confuse value with the idea that you're indispensable to God and that He must have you because He needs something from you. None of us are indispensable. We all come and go, but God remains the same. And so we must test the pride that can swell up in our hearts that says, God needs me. I remember learning this lesson the hard way in some of the churches in which I have served, one in particular. I poured myself into my ministry there, serving God and the people of that church with great diligence. Slowly and over the years, I began to think that the people who came to the church really did need me, and that I was such a necessary part of why they came. If I am honest in looking back, I couldn't imagine that God would move me out of there, and when it happened, it was a real jolt, like getting a kick in the backside. Our move was positive. There wasn't any conflict or hard feelings, nothing like that. But I remember watching the church move on without me. I remember observing God's plan for them unfold so perfectly. The people of God moved on quickly and, as it turns out, very successfully without little old me. That church is still there and, by the grace of God, growing in Christ every year. And of course it is. God never needed me. I am not indispensable or irreplaceable. Do I have value in the eyes of God? Of course I do. Jesus Christ died for my sins. The Lord chose me to be His follower and to receive by His grace the greatest gift ever given, redemption from sin. And I can be valuable in service to the Master as His slave for life. But I am not to confuse value with the idea that I'm indispensable to God or that He must have me because He needs something from me. God has no needs. He is self-existent. But as I learned my lesson, there were times when I also questioned my value to God. There was an element of feeling rejected and unneeded as this story I have just told unfolded. I admit to feeling put aside, forgotten, as I wondered if God was still with me as we moved on from that wonderful group of Christian people to serve in a different ministry. Some of those old feelings or emotions of feeling worthless and asking, who cares, surfaced in my soul. But I can now assure you that God does love me and that He was with me and is with me. And again, with the advantage of hindsight, it was definitely the right thing that I move on. As I did, the Holy Spirit guided me in the reading of the Word of God through passages that assured me of the overwhelming presence of the God who has given my life eternal value and meaning. Two things can be true at the same time, and it is true that our lives have value to God, but we are not indispensable. By God's grace, we have to hold the balance, and I pray that we will. With this, we have answered our two questions. If God doesn't need anything, then why did God create? If God doesn't need us, then are we of any value to God? And you may have other questions that have come up in your mind this week, or maybe you want to say more about how I have answered these questions. If so, drop me an email this week and ask your question. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com, and it will be repeated later. We're not done discovering the self-existent nature of God. Much more needs to be said, and I want to invite us to go back into the Bible, and this time to the Old Testament book of Daniel. What I want to do is to read this text to you so that you can have it on your mind for tomorrow. I'll need to save the bulk of our discussion until then, as that big clock on the wall over there slows for none of us. The passage I have in my mind is Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. Here is what the Word of God says in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Let me say a couple of things about this verse now. First, notice the word he here is capitalized. He is God. So that whenever you read this on your own a little later, you can replace the word he with God. Let me do that now. I'm rereading Daniel 4, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but God does according to God's will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off God's hand or say to God, what have you done? Also, in this verse, I am sure you hear echoes of what we have already discussed. But as we prepare to reflect on the rich details of this text, I have a little assignment for you to do before we meet again. Open your Bible or the Bible online or on an app if you do not own a Bible and read the context of this verse. If you have more time, read all of Daniel chapters 1 through 4. It's a fascinating read. Just read it. Do not worry about what you do not understand or get held back by questions you have. You can write those questions down, but keep reading. That's Daniel chapters 1 through 4. If you have less time, just read all of chapter 4. Read Daniel 4. If you'll complete this little assignment, then you'll be that much further ahead, prepared and ready to understand this verse, Daniel 4, verse 35. But of course, either way, come back and join me again tomorrow, for God is, and I'd like to ask you to invite a friend along to listen. It's not too late for that friend to jump in with us as we discover the self-existent nature of God. This is something everyone needs to know about God. This is not just for Christians. This is for all people at all times, everywhere. And self-existence is not an attribute of God that is often discussed. So be bold. Have a friend join you on the radio or download and listen to the free podcast together. I look forward to welcoming you here tomorrow as we conclude this week together right here on God Is.